Turn to Hebrews chapter 1, please. Hebrews chapter 1. I believe I'm going to be doing some studies in the book of Hebrews these next weeks that lie ahead, or months. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. I'm going to stop there in the middle of a sentence. I don't know whether that's proper, but I'm going to do that because we're going to pick verse 4 up next week. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Father, thank you for the revelation of yourself through the word. We pray this morning that you would minister to us, speak to our hearts, be glorified. Help me to uplift your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. God has spoken. These verses are perhaps some of the most sublime statement in all the Word of God. The book of Hebrews begins like the first book of the Bible or the fifth gospel. It begins with no introduction. It begins with God. God doesn't need an introduction. Before the mountains are brought forth or the world was formed, from everlasting to everlasting, He is God. Now, let me just stop here a moment and say a few things quickly about the book of Hebrews. It's God's final word to Judaism. He's going to say there remaineth therefore no more sacrifice for sins. The just shall live by faith is mentioned by Habakkuk, and three New Testament books explain what that means, Romans, Galatians, and here in the book of Hebrews. The key word of this book is better. We're going to see that Jesus Christ is not only better than the angels, but he's better than all of those who have gone before. No one knows the authorship of this book. We may be talking about that later. No one knows, and everyone has their opinion as to who might have written it. And I'm making no comments this morning. I'll save mine for a later date. No one knows who wrote it, but we know it was written somewhere between 60 and 69 A.D. because the temple was destroyed under Titus in 70 A.D., and when this book was written, the temple was still standing. Jerusalem and the temple was still there. Now, in these verses which I read, we see the transcendency and the revelation of God, the deity of Christ. He's the heir of all things, the atonement, and the power of God's work. This book says, God spake, hear, O heaven, give ear, O earth, the Lord has spoken. And when God speaks, we do not want to twist or wrest his word. We don't want to add to it or take from it or alter it in any way. Jesus said to the churches, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. And that word hear really means we're to incline. That means we're to cup our hand, as it were, over our ear and put forth an effort and bend it to hear what God has to say. First of all, let me say that God has spoken in ages past unto our fathers. Of all the knowledge that we know of God, we know a very small portion, but we know this much, that God speaks. The first recorded word of God in all Scripture says this: in the beginning, God said, let there be light. God said, let us make man after our image. God is a God of communication. He loves fellowship. He loves relationship with his creation. And with every relationship, there needs to be communication. From the family unit to the most complex organization, communication is necessary. I read of a story of a woman who was vacationing in Florida by herself, and she went into an art gallery. Their family collected art and paintings, and she saw a very valuable piece of artwork. So she sent her husband a telegram stating to him, describing it, and the price of it. Her husband wired her back immediately, and she went right away to the art gallery and purchased that art. Taking it home, she was greeted with her husband, who was irate. He said, "I wired you direct instructions," he said, "that you were not to purchase the work." And she was flabbergasted. And she said, "Well, I have your wire right here, and read it yourself." And he read it, and he learned how important it is to have right punctuation and use the right description. He said, "No price too high. No price too high." What he wanted to say, "No exclamation point. The price is too high." Now, when God speaks, he's very clear. He's very plain. God walked and talked with Adam in the cool of the day. Jesus walked and talked with the men on the road to Emmaus. And today he still calls his own by name. God has kept silent. He has not kept silent. And he has a right to speak. He has knowledge to speak. When he speaks, we need to hearken to his voice. And today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Then I see that God spoke in various ways, divers manners, it says. He spoke in various ways. We must never limit God's ability to speak to his creation. God spoke through dreams, through visions. God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. He spoke to Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration. He spoke to Samuel as a child and to Saul as an old and foolish king. God spoke to Jacob in a dream, and he saw a ladder, which is a picture of the cross. The only way from earth to heaven is by way of the cross. You can't climb up any other way. He spoke to Balaam through the mouth of his dumb ass. God at sundry times and in divers manners spoke into times past. God spoke face to face with Moses. God ordered Noah to prepare an ark to the saving of his household. God spoke to angels, and they hearkened to his voice, and they become ministering spirits. God spoke to and through the prophets. Peter put it this way: prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God spoke to different men in different ways. He spoke to Elijah one way. He spoke to Elisha another way. God said he would do nothing but would make known his word to his prophets. If there be a prophet, it says, I will make myself known to him. God spoke through Isaiah and his family. His wife was a prophetess. His son was Mareshela Hashbaz. That's a big name, isn't it? Mareshela Hashbaz. It really means this. After they gave birth to a son, God said, before that child is able to say mama or daddy, Samaria is going to be taken by Syria. And Jeremiah the prophet, God spoke to him. God said, take a girdle, put it on, take it off, put it in water, take it up and put it in, hide it in a cave in Euphrates. And then he went to go get it, and it was marred. And God says, my people, like that girdle, is very close to me, but good for nothing. Hosea, God spake to him through his wife and through his family, through his home. Gomer was an unfaithful wife. And God says, Hosea, you love your wife. I loved Israel, and they're unfaithful to me. Ezekiel is a prophet who God spoke to. We see a picture of Ezekiel, the picture of the siege of Jerusalem. It was battered. It was surrounded. And God said, Ezekiel, I want you to take this iron pan or a skillet, and I want you to lay on your left side for 390 days for the house of Israel. That's how many days it'll be until they're defeated. Then I want you to lay on your right side around that iron skillet for 40 days. And that's how long it will be, and Judea will be seized. Now Amos, he saw the Lord in the vision, standing upon a wall made with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And God said, Amos, never again will I pass by the iniquity of my people. Prepare to meet thy God. And so God spoke in times past to the prophets, but only in part. God spoke the whole through his son. They were the promise, but Jesus was the fulfillment. They were the shadow, but Christ was the substance. Charles Haddon Spurgeon put it this way, other men had the threads of truth, but Christ took the threads and wove them into a glorious robe and put it on and came forth with the very truth of God. Jesus said, I am the truth. God spoke through the prophets bit by bit and piece by piece, but he spoke through his son totally. He is the truth. Now God speaks through nature. Verse 2, it says, he made the worlds. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4 says, by faith we believe that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He founded it and established it. The heavens declare the glory of God. God said to Abraham, look to the heavens. David said, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, and the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him and that you visit him? And I marvel at that. What is man that he would not only make us, but he would visit us with his son? All things were made by him in heaven. All things were made by him on earth, visible or invisible. All things were made by him and for him. He commanded and it stood fast. He spake and it was done. God speaks by nature. Psalm 19 says, day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor knowledge where the voice of nature is not heard. That voice goes to the ends of the earth. Listen to what Paul said to the church at Rome. He said, the just shall live by faith, Romans chapter 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against ungodliness, because that when they made no God, it was manifested in them, for God had showed it unto them. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by that which is made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. For this cause God gave them over to vile affections. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Women leaving the natural use of a man, and man leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust. Paul said they're doing all of this because they refuse to listen and hear the voice of God. God is. A child 2 years old knows that God is. I've told the story I don't know how many times. If I went into the woods and found a watch, and if I would say to you, this watch just happened, there was an explosion, and the metal and the glass and the gears and the numbers and all of it came together, I would be insulting your intelligence. You know there was a designer. You know there was a creator. And when you see the complexity of this world, we know there was a creator. Fifthly, God speaks through providence. He upholds all things by the word of his power. God not only created all things, but a faithful creator, he maintains and sustains all nature. Colossians 1:17 says, by him are all things consist. That means he holds all things together. He holds the whole world in his hand. He never takes his eye or his hands off of it for a moment. The Greek mythology would let us think that this world is on the shoulders of Atlas. No, it's not on his shoulders. It's in the hands of God. Daniel said, God's throne is in the heavens. His kingdom rules over all. God is in control. And the best thing we can do is to recognize the hand of God in the universe. God's in control. And all of the political corruption in the world and all that's happening, I find my peace and solace here that God's in control. He knows what's going on. By his wisdom and power, he preserves and governs this world. Philip Melanchthon was a theologian, a scholar, a teacher, a reformer. He worked with Martin Luther out of Germany and Zwingli out of Switzerland. And when the Great Reformation was coming, he was the mind behind it all. He was kind of a worry wart, if I could use that word. Excuse me, Philip. But God said to him one night, Philip, go to bed and let me run the world. I'm in control. It's vain for you to set up late and to rise up early and to be frustrated. God's in control. The deist believes that God may be a God out there that created this world and then made it and then went off somewhere, wound it up, and then he's not interested in the world anymore. I want to say to you that this world is so complex and so intricate. It moves in perfect motion. And if God removed himself from this universe for one moment, it would go to pieces. And his eye is on the sparrow. And I want to say his eye is on you. He's in control. He speaks through his word. By the word of his power, our text says. His word is quick and powerful. It can convert the soul. It can make wise the simple. There's no book like it in all circulation. It's divinely inspired. Open it, search it daily. There's no other way to live than by the simple, childlike faith in the word of God. Abraham Lincoln said, I am profitably engaged in reading the Bible every day. Take all of this book by reason. That you can, and the balance by faith, and you'll live and die a better man. All scripture is profitable. And I want to say again that God is very, very clear when he speaks. Again, I heard of a husband who knew that every year when they would go on vacation, he'd get about 50, 75 miles from home, and the wife would say, stop, oh no, I'm sure I left the iron on. And they'd turn around and come back. Well, this year, as they were headed toward Florida, when they were about 75 miles from home, she said, oh, no, I know I left the iron on. He pulled the car over, stopped it, reached under the seat and picked the iron up and handed it to her. And no, God's very clear when he speaks. And every time you read the word of God, it's like fresh manna. God's saints never tire of it. The Bible says making of books, there's no end, and weariness is to the flesh to try to read them all. The presses are putting out books all the time on everything, but God speaks through his word, a word that is forever, ever settled. One aged saint said, thank God I have a Bible, said a poor aged woman. What should I do without my Bible? It was the guide of my youth. It's the staff of my age. It wounded me and healed me. It condemned me. It acquitted me. It showed me I was a sinner. It led me to the Savior. It has given me comfort through life, and I trust it will give me hope in death. And it will. I say to you, God speaks very specifically through his word. God speaks from his throne. The text says that Jesus sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus, who was the brightness of God's glory, the express image of God's person, stepped out of the Father's house and out of heaven and came down to this earth, humbled himself, went to the cross, died and was buried and arose, and now is ascended back to the throne in glory. And he said as he entered in John 17:5, as he prayed to his Father, he said, Father, restore the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And from that throne, we can hear the voice of our Savior. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. We can hear him interceding. We can hear him pleading our case. We can hear him speak our name. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. And Luke put it this way, before the holy angels. That's humbling. You speak his name down here, and he'll speak your name from his throne to the Father and to the angels. God's throne is set, and he sets upon it, and he ever liveth. I tell you, he speaks today with power and authority because he speaks from his throne. God speaks from the cross. On verse 3, himself purged our sins. The Bible says that God was in Christ. God was there. The Trinity was at Mount Calvary. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And from the cross was his final word to man. When God speaks from the cross, it's clear there remains no sacrifice for sin. It's finished. The blood of Christ is the new and living way, and life is in the blood. If you turn to Hebrews, you're in the book of Hebrews, I trust, turn to chapter 12. God speaks through the cross, Hebrews chapter 12. While you're turning, I'll speak. God dealt with our sins. It was there he removed them as far as the east is from the west. It was there he made an atonement for our sins and covered them. And David said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. And the only covering we have for our sin is the blood. And you're in Hebrews chapter 12 now, verse 24. And it says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than Abel. The blood speaketh. I say to you, he speaks from the cross. The blood of Christ speaketh. It's never lost its power. The blood of his Son cleanseth us from all sin. There's no distortion in his voice. He speaks, and let all the earth be silent. Atonement was made at Calvary. He speaks by the cross. And then we find that he speaks today. He speaks in these last days. And today, if you hear his voice, Hebrews 3, you've turned to chapter 12, look at verse 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh from heaven. He's speaking. He's speaking today from heaven. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How shall we escape if we turn our ear to the voice of God? His voice will reach the hardest sinner. God speaks, and his voice is powerful. It's a voice that's heard in the midst of the storm. It can even be heard in the gates of hell. Jonah cried unto God out of the very nearness of death. People ask me, Pastor, do you believe that people can be saved in the last moments of their life? Yes, I do. Do you think a man can be saved from the very gates of hell? Yes, I believe he can be. Let me give you an illustration of my own father. I've never told this story. To my knowledge, my wife is very accurate in keeping records. When God called me to the ministry, my dad said, son, you'll never make it in the ministry. He knew me. He knew what I was. And what I was wouldn't have made me right for the ministry. And I witnessed to my dad. And I fasted one day a week for 7 years for my dad. My dad took a heart attack. I was in another part of the country. I drove my family back to be with him, to be in the hospital. And every time I would talk to my dad, he'd say, "You're a fanatic. I don't want to hear it." But there in the Altoona Hospital, I said, "Dad, would you acknowledge yourself a sinner?" And open your life to him. With tears in his eyes, he said, "I will." And he prayed. I had to go back to the church. I had to conduct a funeral. And I said this. I haven't said this to very few people. I said, "Dad, if I don't see you again in this life, I'll see you in glory." I say that God can rescue a person even from the gates of hell. Someday God will say to those that are his, "Come ye blessed, inherit the kingdom." And he'll say to those who are not his, "Depart from me, ye, into everlasting hell." I close with this. A woman who was a very busy church worker waited for D.L. Moody, who had just lectured some women on some of the difficult passages in the Bible. And she was irate. She was waiting there at the church door to talk to him. And she met him and said, "Mr. Moody," very angrily, "do you mean to tell me an educated woman, taught from her childhood in good ways, and all my life interested in the church and doing good, must enter heaven the same way as the worst criminal of our day?" He said, "No, ma'am, I did not tell you that. God did." There's only one way, and that's Jesus. It's the only ladder from earth to heaven. God has spoken. Incline your ear to hear. Don't muffle his voice or harden your heart. Do you know this morning? I'd like to think everyone here has been born again, but maybe you're not. Maybe you've never knelt in repentance at an altar and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." If you haven't, do it today. If there's a question or a doubt in your mind, settle that today. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your precious word. Search our hearts, try us. Speak to us as individuals. Your word says the blood speaketh. Speak. Obey his voice. God has spoken. How blessed you are to hear that voice. And now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and dominion and power forever. Amen.